I want you to open your Bibles to Revelation. I want to open to the book of Revelation. I'm just going to read 5 verses of the scripture from Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21, verses 21 to 25. And please pardon me, my throat is a bit dry, so if you hear me cough or you see me drink a bit of water, I blame it on the vaccination. Okay. All right. So 21 of verse of chapter 21 says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The lamp is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor to it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall not be night there. Let us pray. I want you to take a moment to just pray as we go into the Word of God. I want you to ask that God speak to you. Tell him that you want to hear him. That the word that I'm going to speak this morning, that you're not going to see Buki talking. That he's going to take this word and make you to understand it and make it to profit you. The Bible talks about the word falling on some different grounds. I want you to ask that this word will drop on the good grounds of your heart and it will bring forth fruit for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to minister your word this morning. Lord, we pray, oh God, breathe upon your word this morning. Take this word and divide it among everyone here, everyone listening to this voice, to the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Lord, let this word profit us as we talk and look at heaven. Lord, we pray, oh God, that you make heaven real to us in the name of Jesus. Let there be a fresh passion. Let it be ignited in your people this morning to desire it, to look forward to it, and to live ready for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As you've heard in the prayers, we are talking about heaven this morning. This message has been on my heart for a time now. And don't worry, you know, this is not a funeral, and I'm not here to scare you about death and all that stuff, okay? My goal this morning is to get you thinking about heaven. My goal this morning is to get you studying about heaven. My goal this morning is to get you living ready for heaven. Praise the Lord. Because we have a brief time here on earth, people of God. But let me ask you a question this morning. What circumstance have caused you to think about heaven? Is there a particular circumstance or maybe, you know, a Bible verse that comes to your mind that sometimes make you think about heaven? Have you think about heaven lately? Have you think about how much time we actually have here? Praise the Lord. I read of a story of a teenager in Ohio. It seems that all the stories that you find, you know, to share for sermons, they're U.S. based for some reason. But this teenager is in Ohio. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. And he was living with his widowed mother at their farm in Cleveland, and he decided to go look for work. And he searched for work, and eventually he found work as a deckhand in a boat, in a canal. Okay, so these boats, you know, were parked in the canal. I'm not sure what kind of work they do, but he was employed as a deckhand and as a diver, okay? But this boy named James, right, he has a knack of always falling into the canal. And the canal, the water there is black, it's you know, treacherous, it's, you know, so the crew are always rescuing him. Unfortunately for him, one night, he was walking on the deck alone, all the other crew members were asleep, and he fell into that water again. And while he was in that black, dark water, he was struggling for breath and, you know, just trying to, you know, swim, but he couldn't, and he knew he was going to die. But as he was just flapping his hand around, he touched a rope, and he pulled on that rope, you know, and the rope kind of was, you know, something, it was secured. So he climbed that rope out of that boat. And as he hauled himself into the deck, you know, gasping for breath, you know, he realized that the rope that had saved him was the rope he was just trying to uncoil just a moment before. That rope was not tied to anything. So he was wondering, how could this rope, you know, how will I have been able to come out with this uncoiled rope? And then he discovered that as he pulled on that rope in that water, right, the rope actually got held between the cracks of the planks, and that kind of secured the other end of the rope. And he felt, this cannot be natural. This has to be supernatural. There has to be a God right there. And then he believed in God, and he left that place, and he went to finish his education. And he just believed that God saved him for a purpose. He went ahead and lived on purpose, and he became a minister. And he became the 20th president of the United States. Praise the Lord. His name is James Garfield, the 20th president of the United States. So I ask you the question again. That event transformed his life. That event made him to see more, even more, not just on earth, but even beyond earth. That there is more, that there's a higher being, you know, in control of his life. Is there any circumstance like that for you? You know, I was talking to Pastor just before church started, and I asked him the same question. He didn't, you know, I wasn't even planning to share this. And he said, oh, I don't know, that maybe when people die, or maybe when I'm in a very difficult situation and troubles, and I just want it all to end. That is the same for me, actually. You know, there was one night one of our daughters, you know, when they were younger, just woke me up in the middle of the night crying, like really crying bad. She said she dreamt about hell, that she went to hell. And, you know, she was describing something. I'm like, you know, so we prayed with her and, you know, and all that, you know. But we do have some circumstance like that. Well, maybe a dream, maybe a circumstance you're going through. Maybe you lost a loved one and you're sitting there in the funeral and you're hearing a message like this. You know, by the way, this is not a message that we should only be listening to in funerals. We should be calling ourselves to it once in a while like this. In fact, more often than we're actually doing it currently in the church. But I want to tell you this morning that you don't need a near-death experience to start thinking about heaven. You don't need a special circumstance. You don't need, you know, you don't need anyone to, you know, as believers, we need to live with heaven in view. And that's why I've titled this message this morning, Heaven in View. Heaven in View. In fact, when you talk about heaven and death, you know, in my culture where I came from, you know, they shush you because they say, are you going to die, you know? So don't worry, I'm not going to die, okay? And you are not going to die. The Bible says we won't die but live to declare the works of the Lord, right? We are going to fulfill the number of our days. You are going to fulfill the number of your days in the name of Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, we have a brief time here on earth. Psalm 90 verse 10 says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and by the reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet, their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and will fly away. I know people quote that scripture a lot. It doesn't mean you live only to 70 or 80. You can live more than that. But it's just saying that, you know, life is brief, no matter how long you live. So we need to be thinking about what happens after we leave this place. 1 Corinthians chapter 29, verse 15. It says, for we are aliens and pilgrims. In fact, another translation says, foreigners, that we are foreigners and strangers before you. And we are all, and we're all our fathers, our days on earth are a shadow. Hallelujah. We are not citizens of here. We have another place. We are here for a brief moment. That's a fact I'm trying to communicate to you this morning. And that's what I want you to never forget. Life is temporary here on earth, but also life continues after this earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the Bible is the authoritative source of what happens after life. And the Bible makes us to understand that after life, there is heaven and there is hell. There is heaven and there is hell. People that have put their trust in him, people that have believed, you know, that Jesus died on the cross, they go to heaven, right? People who refuse, who reject him, go to hell, unfortunately. That is what the Bible has told us. That is what we believe. Hallelujah. So, let's talk about heaven a bit this morning. What is heaven like? Where is heaven? Let's start with that. Where is heaven? I know you have so many questions about heaven. I don't intend to answer all of it in this short time that we have. Like I said, my goal is to get you to go back and study, right? I know you might be expecting a fiery preaching of God's word like Pastor Joe, but I believe, you know, I'm a teacher of God's word, and I want you to grab your notepad, or, you know, maybe if your electronic one, there's going to be a lot of scriptures we're going to look at, you know, because church service is not only, you know, you hear a fiery message that make you feel good and you go home. You know, we can actually do Bible study on a Sunday morning like this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So grab your notebooks, grab your pen, and take notes. I want you to go back. You know, every good teacher will give you an homework. We give you an assignment, right? That is my assignment, even before I finish teaching this morning, okay? To go back and search these things out. Praise the Lord. So heaven, where is heaven? I don't know. The Bible didn't tell us where heaven is. What is heaven? Heaven is God's dwelling place. The Bible says in the beginning, in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth. There are different places in the scriptures where it talks about the heavens, like the firmament and the planet and the skies. But there's also a place called heaven. Praise the Lord. All we know about heaven, two things. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103 verse 19. Psalm 103 verse 19 says, "The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all." So heaven is where God is. It's the dwelling place of God. He's established his throne there. And every one of us that have believed in him have come under that kingdom, right? So it's like you're going to live under a kingdom. We're doing it right now. That's why our time here on earth, after we've given our life, is a practice run, you know? That's why you say, "Jesus, you are my Lord. I want you to rule me, you know, right here. And then when I finish here, you continue that rule over my life," right? So heaven is his kingdom. Praise the Lord. And if you look at Psalm 53, verse 2, like I said, I'm going to move fast, so you need to write down. It says, "God looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God." That tells me that heaven is out of this world. Because if it's not out of this world, God will not be looking down into earth, right? That's where heaven is, out of this world. Praise the Lord. It's God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. And what does the Bible, how does the Bible qualify heaven? In different places, it says, sorry, before I tell you how the Bible qualifies it, the Bible says that heaven is designed for you. It's designed for me. It's designed for us. Look at Hebrews 11:16. It says, "But now they desire a better place." This was talking about our fathers of faith. Abraham, you know, the fathers of faith in the Bible. It says, "But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he has prepared," I want you to underline that word, "he has prepared a city for them." God has prepared heaven for you and I. Way better than where we are. Earth is supposed to be a beautiful place. When God created earth, he made it beautiful. But then he put men into it. And you see what we have now. Praise the Lord. But thank God, when we go to heaven, we are going to go in a glorified body. So we're not going to be able to mess it up as we've messed up earth. Praise the Lord. I will tell you in a bit some of the things we are going to find in heaven. And some of the things we are not going to find in heaven. But the Bible qualifies in that very verse, heaven as a country. Heaven as a city. Hebrews 11:10 says, for he was looking forward to the city with foundation whose architect and builder is God. Pastor just quoted that scripture this morning. That is that heavenly city he's talking about. So Hill City Church is sort of a type of that city where the people of God come together. Praise the Lord. So it's a city, it's a country. And one more thing that describes heaven. Like I said, I'm trying you to picture heaven. It describes it as paradise. I want you to think about somewhere that is paradise to you. Is it maybe Hawaii? Maybe the island of Hawaii? You know, maybe for you, maybe for our children is Disneyland. You know, maybe that's paradise. I don't know. Maybe for our moms, just, you know, peace and quiet on the bed. Praise the Lord. You know, with no one disturbing them, maybe that's paradise. Like you're just there. But I want you to multiply that a billion times. That is what paradise, this heaven that is described in the Bible. Praise the Lord. Who's going to be in heaven? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He says we're going to see him as he is. How many people want to see God? I can't wait to see God. Hallelujah. What does he even look like? My little one always asks me all the time, like, sorry, dear, I don't know. But we'll see him one day. Because we'll see him as he is. There'll be angels. The Bible talks about angels in heaven. The Bible talks about the church being in heaven. In fact, that Revelation 21 that I talked to you about, there are two different schools of thought about it. Some people believe that passage in Revelation 21 is describing the bride of Christ, the church. You know? But I believe, even if it's describing the church, the bride of Christ, is describing where they're going to be. Because it's talking about walls, it's talking about gates, it's talking about, you know, city. You know, that means it's a place where the people are going to be. That means it's talking about heaven, that the believers are going to be there. And I'm talking about believers before Jesus. The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first. You know, Rick Warren said, you know, those believers, they were looking forward to the coming of Jesus. So everything that they did was a type and shadow. They were slaughtering animals and stuff like that, you know, but they believed in God. So therefore, they are going to heaven. And we are looking back to what Jesus has done, right? Very few were actually there when Jesus died on the cross. We are looking back, they look forward. That's why, you know, because we have put our trust in God, we are all going there. Someone says there's going to be three surprises in heaven that you are going to see people you don't expect will be there. Because maybe at the very last minute, they put their trust in Jesus. So you're going to see people that you don't, that you expect to be there, not to be there. You know, maybe, you know, those public figures that, you know, openly declare things. But the Bible says, you know, in the last days, they will say, oh, I know you. And we say, no, I don't know you. It says, in your name, we cast out demons. In your name, we did this and that. It says, no, I don't know you, right? That's another surprise. And the third surprise is you'll be surprised that you yourself made it. Praise the Lord. I pray that you all make it in the name of Jesus. I pray that I make it in the name of Jesus. It's going to be a big reunion in heaven. So what will it be like? I'm trying to move fast this morning. What will it be like? What will heaven be like? Let's look at Revelation 21 again. The verses we just read in Revelation 21. Let's look at verse 4 of Revelation 21. It says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can you imagine somewhere where there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no pain, there's no crying? Why would anyone not want to go there? Praise the Lord. You know, I listened to a message while preparing for this word, and the preacher was saying that Why would anyone want to die and come back? You know, we hear people say they've gone to heaven and they come back. I'm not saying they're lying. But like I always, this is what I always tell people. If people come back and say they've seen heaven, whatever they are saying, check it with what the word says. If it doesn't align with what the word says, I don't believe it. Right? Praise the Lord. And this minister was saying that Paul at some point, you know, there was a record that Paul at some point was stoned and he died and he had a revelation, you know, of heaven. He wrote a bit about it in Revelation, actually, in one of his books in the Bible. And I believe believers were praying for him. And this pastor said, I'm telling you, church, if I die and you pray for me, if you pray that God raise me up, if I get back here, you all are going to be in trouble. Because you can imagine getting to heaven and you get to the gates and they said, you know, and they always make a joke about Peter being at the gates. And Peter said, okay, do you want the good news or the bad news? The good news is you made it to heaven. But the bad news is there are believers praying to bring you back. And he's going to say, please don't listen to them. Because you're looking at these beautiful gates with streets of gold. And they're calling you back to earth. So please, okay? When it's time I go, please don't pray to bring me back. Praise the Lord. It's a better place. It's a beautiful place. By the way, if you've lost a loved one in Christ, I want to stop here and encourage you. It is not a goodbye. There's going to be a big reunion in heaven. You're going to see them again. Hallelujah. How awesome is that? We're going to be reunited again. I want to encourage you. I know we cry, we mourn. By the way, don't ever tell a Christian not to cry if they lose a loved one. You know, I believe Christians even, you know, they mourn deeply than the world is because we love deeply. We love with the love of God. So why will we not cry? But the Bible says we should not mourn as if we don't have hope. That is what the Bible is talking about here. The hope that we have is that we cry, we mourn, but we have hope that we are going to see them again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So there's no death, there's no sickness, there's no sadness. Look at Revelation chapter 21 again in verse 22. It says, but I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. You know, we are going to see God. It's going to be church all the time. Praise the Lord. 23, verse 23 says, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. I'm telling you, our brain cannot even fathom what heaven is going to be like. Praise the Lord. In verse 27 of the same chapter, it says, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination. There will not be global warming. There will not be people messing up the environment. Praise the Lord. But only those who are written in the Lamb Book of Life. There will not be any sin. No sin, no curse. In Revelation 22, verse 3, no curse, no locked gates. And I want to show you there will be rest. How many people want rest? In Revelation 14, verse 13. Revelation 14, 13 says, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Who die in the Lord? Who die believing God? Who died in Christ? It says, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. There is rest in heaven. Praise the Lord. And some people think that we're just going to be there floating, you know, like little, have you seen pictures of angels flying in heaven? Little fat babies with wings? I don't believe so. I don't believe we are going to be floating around. The Bible talks about us worshiping God. The Bible talks about us serving. So heaven is not going to be boring. Hallelujah. Some people joke and say, I'd rather be in hell and have fun. How can a place full of fire and brimstone be fun? Whose idea of fun is that? Praise the Lord. But look at what the Bible is saying about heaven. It's peaceful. It's a place of rest. It's a glorious place. And the Bible says that the Lord has put eternity in our hearts. There's this longing that the Lord has put in our heart. That's Ecclesiastes 3:11, I believe. You know, this longing, because we are made to exist forever. Eternity. Praise the Lord. I'm going to keep going. I want to round it all up by talking to you about how do I live here on earth? How do I live here on earth with heaven in view? You know, you must have heard the saying that says that, that woman is too heavenly minded. That is no earthly good. We still joked about it the other day, you know, with some of the ladies, you know. That statement is not true. There is no way you can be heavenly minded and you will not be of earthly good. Because when you're heavenly minded, that is when you are motivated to do more here on earth. People who we think are heavenly minded are no earthly good, they are not heavenly minded. They are selfishly minded. Praise the Lord. So I just thought I'll throw that in there. So number one thing, two things I want to talk to you about this morning that we can do, that we can, you know, how we can live here on earth while we, with heaven in view. The first one is set your minds on things above. Set your minds on things above. Never, ever, ever, ever forget that this earth is not your home. Run every decision, run every plan with eternity, with heaven in view. Will this really matter in the light of eternity? I want you to constantly be asking yourself that question. This fight, this argument I'm about to have with my wife, with my husband, these little things we are talking about, we are fighting about, can't I just let it go? Will this matter in light of eternity? Will it? Praise the Lord. This grudge, this unforgiveness that I'm holding on to, you know, will it matter in the light of eternity? Set your mind on things up. Let's look at what the scripture says. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. So as our feet is here on earth, where should our mind be? In heaven. Praise the Lord. I love the way the NLT puts it. Do we have the NLT? And if I'll read the first three verses. It says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ, set your sight on the what? Realities of heaven. Heaven is real. It's a real place. It's not a figment of your imagination. Praise the Lord. It's not a state of mind. It's a real place where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Where Jesus is, God is, the Holy Spirit is. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. You think about it, for you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Praise the Lord. Think about things of heaven. Make decisions based on, you know, the realities of heaven. And two ways under that, you know, setting your mind on things above, two things you need to put away. Distractions, discouragement. Can you say distraction? Discouragement. Distraction, discouragement. Look at Colossians chapter 3 again. Colossians 3. And let's look at verses 5 to 8. Distractions of temptation, distraction of sin. It says, therefore, put to death your members which are on earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Hallelujah. Verse 7. In which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. And verse 8. But now you yourself are to put off all this. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Those are the things we need to say no to. Those are distraction. Those are the temptation of sin that the devil uses to distract us. Hallelujah. Distraction of challenges, of sickness, of COVID-19. I believe COVID-19 is a distraction. Praise the Lord. Because as we are focusing and focusing on it, we are not able to think about heaven. We are not able to live ready for heaven. Praise the Lord, because we are living in fear. I pray that every fear is broken off you this morning Fear of death, fear of COVID, in the name of Jesus, it is broken. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The other one I said is no discouragement. Don't be discouraged. In fact, I want to show you a scripture in John chapter 14. This is Jesus himself talking. John chapter 14, verse 1. John 14, verse 1. Can I have that on the screen? It says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Remember, I said Jesus is the one talking. What do you expect that Jesus will say after this verse? He will say, don't worry, I'll fix it, right? Don't worry. Don't be troubled. Believe in me. I have all the powers. I'm going to fix it. It's going to be all good. But that's not what Jesus said. Look at verse 2. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, and that where I am, there you may be also. Verse 4. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. He says, don't be discouraged with troubles. I'm not promising that I'm going to fix 100% of your troubles, but I'm promising you that I'm coming to take you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. It's going to be beautiful. All those pain, all those things you are going through, you are not going to go through them anymore. Hallelujah. I'm preparing a place for you, a better place. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, set your mind on things above with no distraction, with no discouragement. Praise the Lord. The second thing, I want you to focus your energy on things of eternal value. Focus your energy, your strength, the whole of your being, your life on things of eternal value. Eternal means it continues forever and ever. Eternal, unending. Praise the Lord. And two things I'm going to give you under this point that you need to focus on. The number one thing you need to focus on is people's eternal destiny. The eternal destiny of people. Look at me. Look with me at Matthew chapter 25. Eternal destiny of people. Matthew 25 and verse 46. It says, and this will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So this passage, if you read from verse 31 of Matthew 25, Jesus was talking about a scenario in the kingdom of God, you know. And some people are surprised that they made it. And they said, oh, he said, because you gave a drink of water to this little one, come on in. And they were saying, but when did we do this, you know? He said, you give a cup of water to me. He said, when do you do this? He says, because you gave it to this little one. Because you serve people. Because you serve people, you have done it to me. Therefore, enter into this beautiful place. And the other people, he says, oh, you are damned eternally, unfortunately, because you refuse to do this. Because the eternal, you know, people's eternal destiny does not matter to you. People of God, when we come to church like this and we serve one another, you are helping that person sitting next to you, right? To focus on their journey to that eternal place, right? So it's not only talking about salvation, it's talking about you serving the people who are going there, investing your life in the people that are going there. You know, being passionate about people. So focus your energy on that. Pray about that. Pray for people. Serve people. Give, you know. Things that will not last forever are the things we don't invest in, you know, in the light of eternity. Money, possessions, status, power, education, security, our comfort, they all don't matter, you know, if you don't use it in light of eternity by helping people's eternal destiny. Praise the Lord. So I want you to focus your energy on that. Number two, you know, interesting, these are the two things, major two things that the Bible says will be forever, that is eternal. The life hereafter and also the word of God. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Can we have that on the screen? It says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. So the word of God is eternal. So what do you focus your energy on? Searching the word. knowing the word, doing the word, because the word pleases him. You are pleasing the God that we are going to meet in heaven when you focus your energy on the word of God. Praise the Lord. You are not only studying the word, you are also knowing, as you're studying his word, you are knowing the God of the word. You are knowing the God of the word. Praise the Lord. So two things we are focusing our energy on: the word of God, thinking about it, reading it, studying it, meditating, and doing it. It's only those who do the word that are blessed. Praise the Lord. And doing it. And the second thing, like I said before, is people's eternal value. So therefore, you serve, you pray, you make a difference, you leave a legacy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I round up this morning, I want to show you a scripture in Matthew 13. I'm rounding up right now. Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13, verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44 and 45. In Matthew 13, Jesus actually told about seven parables about heaven. We did this with the Nexus youth, I think this time or last time. You know, about seven parables. And this two short ones I want to read to you. Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. 45, another one. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. I want you to treasure your salvation. I want you to treasure the fact that you are going to heaven. The Bible says we walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. I want you to focus your energy on things that matter. I want you to focus your energy on pleasing God. I want you to focus your energy on evangelism. We've just finished that series on evangelism. Talking to God about Jesus, talking to people about God. I want you to focus on thinking about heaven, making a decision about heaven. Treasuring it. The Bible talks about us storing up our treasures in heaven. The way we do it is when we focus on the eternal value of people, eternal destiny of people. Praise the Lord. And lastly, how do we get there? How do we get to heaven? I've been trying to focus on talking to people who already know the Lord throughout my message this morning. But I want to direct this to people who don't know the Lord. The only way we get to heaven is through Jesus. Jesus says it's the way, the truth, the life. No one gets to the Father. John chapter 3, verse 3. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Being born again means you believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, and you put your trust in him and you say, be my Lord and Savior. And from that day, you are born, you know, like a newborn baby. You are born into a new life. That is how we get to heaven. There is no good we can do. I don't know if anyone has seen this series on Netflix, The Good Place. How many have seen it? I'm not trying to promote Netflix, but, you know, it's just interesting, the plot of that story. You know, there's this girl, Eleanor or something like that, who died, a young girl, and found herself in a place, you know, an afterlife called a good place, which was supposed to be heaven. Apparently, in that place, you know, all the things that you liked, you get it. If you like a small house, you get a small house, you know, get a mansion, you know, you like planning parties, you start planning parties, you know, everything. So that's your own paradise, it's your own heaven. And this girl found herself in a little tiny place, and she loved big places. You know, she found they hung like clowns all over the wall. She hate clowns. So it was like worst nightmare. And then she realized that I'm not even good. She was really bad when she was on earth. This is supposed to be a good place for good people. How did I make it here? She realized there's going to be some sort of mistake. And she now tried to be good, to start doing good so that she can earn a place in that good place. Heaven doesn't work like that, unfortunately. I wish it does. That when you get there, then you start changing and start getting points. It doesn't work that way. There is no good that we can do that can get us to heaven. Hallelujah. It's not good people that go to heaven. It's forgiving people. It's forgiving people. So I want to invite you to put your trust in that Jesus. You know, I heard this joke of someone that got to heaven. A man got to heaven, and Peter was at the gate again. And he told him, he says, okay, you need 100 points to get in. And he says, oh, yeah, I think I can do that. I can do that. I was married to my wife for 50 years, and I did not cheat on her once. I loved her. I did everything to help her fulfill destiny, you know. And the angel said, yeah, 3 points. And he said, oh, okay. I attended church all my life. I served, I gave, I did everything in the church. He said, 1 point. I'm like, okay, what? 1 point? And then he said, okay, I started a soup kitchen in my community. And I preached the gospel through that. When people come to take the meal, I talk to them about Jesus. I give them flyers, you know. And many people came to, and he said, 2 points. And he's like, okay, how else can I get in? In this, the way things are going, I think it's only going to be by grace. And then the angel said, Peter said, yes, that's it right there. There is no good work that can get us to heaven. Praise the Lord. So I want to invite you this morning, if you don't know the Lord, or if you don't, you are not sure of your salvation, you need to be sure. I'm not saying that you should know the date. You know, Pastor was saying that we're married 20 years, and I'm like, 20 years? Sometimes you ask me about the date of when I, you know, we married. I have to think about it and calculate it, you know. But I never forget the event. When I walked down that aisle with my dad, and I saw him standing there with the pastor, right? You might forget the date on when you got born again. But you will remember the event if you are truly her. If you truly are, you will remember that event. You will see yourself, you know, the point where you start getting transformed. Praise the Lord. So I want to invite you to join this call this morning if you are not sure that you are. You have to be sure. It's easy. You admit that you are a sinner. I always say it's ABC. A is admit. Admit that you are a sinner. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But thank God the price has been paid. Remember I said it's forgiving people? We've been forgiven. You just need to accept it. It's easy. Praise the Lord. You believe the good news that Jesus died and paid that price. He paid the wages of sin, which is death, that he died on the cross. And the C part is that you just confess Jesus as your Lord.